just for one day. We can be heroes just for one day.
Welcome, costumed freaks, to episode 70 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we're all heroes and cosplay is something, well, admittedly, we don't do at all. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we're going to be welcoming a couple of experts on the subject of cosplay to discuss the television program Heroes of Cosplay. But before we bring our guests on, let's kick things off in our traditional style with our heroic Weekly Geekly, Geekly Weekly Roundup. Ricky, why don't you go first? What you been up to?
I have been up to all kinds of stuff, but I will stick to what's really important. Trips to New York, the recording studio, all fails in comparison to my newest love. That's right. I'm doing a Mr. Burns things with my hands right now because it's excellent. Disney Infinity, people. Disney in fucking Infinity. I have nothing else to say about Disney Infinity.
You're that into it. I've heard good things, by the way.
Big drawback with Disney Infinity for me is that it makes me motion sickness. I don't know why. Two games in the history of my gaming career have made me motion sick. It's this game and Epic Mickey 2. So apparently I can't play Disney games without being nauseous, but I have been a trooper and I stick to it and I am not letting it stop me. Not doing a ton of regular gameplay, mostly focusing on hacks and whatnot to get anything and everything I could out of my toy box, and I'm working on my own games. So I will be sharing when I have some stuff finished, so be on the lookout for that. And in other gaming news, still plugging away at Animal Crossing. Played the demo today of Castle of Illusions, the new remake for the new consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Little weird, dude. A little weird trying to fall back into old game mechanics. Like, you can't double jump in this game. And you can't, like, hang from a ledge. Stuff like that. Stuff that you kind of take for granted now. But when you play an old game, kind of throws back. But it's beautiful.
I was just going to say, you got to admit, it's gorgeous, right?
It is gorgeous. And yeah. I'm not criticizing gameplay because I downloaded the demo, struggled through it 3/4 of the way the first time. Second time, it was like second nature, man. It was like nothing. I was hopping and bopping all over the fucking place, collecting diamonds and apples, and it was purchased, and I will be enjoying it thoroughly, and I will keep everybody posted.
Cool. Hey, I actually missed the name of that. What was it?
Castle of Illusions? Is that what it is, Tom?
Yeah, the Mickey. It's a reimagining of the original, I believe, Genesis game, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what we talked about last time, right? All right,
Castle. Yes.
I didn't think that was coming out yet, so I kind of disbelieved when you said that and didn't have any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know it was coming out. I thought it was going to be next month, so it was a pleasant surprise.
Well, there you go, Brian. As Parappa the Rapper says, believe. You got to believe.
Punch, kick, it's all in the mind.
Exactly. Waiting for a remake of that, by the way, or a new version.
With Kinect.
Ooh, better with Kinect. But it's a Sony game, so it has to be with the Sony Eye instead and the magic wands.
Yeah. At least it'll work.
That's true. Ooh, good point.
I won't like it, but it'll work.
Oh, boy. So how about you, Brian? Speaking of believe, I believe you must have had a great week last week. What you been up to?
I've been just every single night just touching up this Signar Firefly that I'm painting. I have just nothing else but that. The only thing that I was going to do was our Edge of the Empire cliffhanger, and that got canceled, so I painted that night too. That's it.
Good for you, sir.
Not an exciting week.
Canceled again this week too. Well, at least I'm canceled. I won't be there.
Sounds like that Edge of the Empire campaign really has you on the edge of your seat.
That was just a sneak peek into next week's Weekly Geekly Geekly Weekly Roundup, where I report my trip to the wonderful world of Disney for the Friday the 13th Villains event. Ooh. Cliffhanger Part 2.
Does that include Darth Vader now? He's now a Disney villain, yeah?
We'll see. I hope so.
Oh, boy. Hopefully Boba Fett's there. He's my favorite.
God. He's going to be busy killing Luke's parents that night or something.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. All right. Thank you for adding that to my list of things to discuss in my weekly roundup, because there's no other context in which I can squeeze in my outrage. This week, I actually was able to log into Final Fantasy XIV. They've upped the maximum number of players per server, so they were just kind of ramping up their data farms and data centers, I guess I should say. And they did that. I'm able to play. To get it to work on my laptop, I had to scale the graphics back to PlayStation 2 levels. But nice. Hey, I can play now. So the shadows look like something that went through a cheese grater. It's kind of a little dodgy looking, but the frame rate is smooth. And for me, frame rate is more important than graphics when it comes to playing a game where I'm going to be spending a lot of time.
Agreed.
Also, yeah, thank you. I'm glad somebody else feels the same way I do, Rick, on that. Also, almost done with Mass Effect 2 and ready to move on to the third one. My summer project to finish all three Mass Effect games is therefore about two-thirds complete, I'm happy to say. A little more than Nintendo 3DS Street Passing stuff and a lot less Animal Farm. I think I'm ready to pop that out and pop in the Luigi's Mansion game.
Oh, super jealous.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you know how that goes. Maybe I'll report back on that next week. That's been sitting there, and Animal Farm kind of preempted it, but I'm tired of having to go to work every day on the Animal Farm. So, wait, did I just call it Animal? I just called Animal Crossing Animal Farm like 15 times, and nobody stopped me.
I figured it was for a reason.
I thought it was commentary.
Actually, it kind of is. I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, I thought I was trading in Luigi's Mansion for a better life on the Animal Farm, but it turns out I'm just working for a bunch of pigs. Wow, Animal Farm. Oh, and one more thing that'll make you guys, my co-hosts, happy. I got some PAX swag and other stuff care packages sent out to both of you, and you should be getting those soon. So I'm looking forward to hearing your reactions, hopefully by next week's episode.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that mysterious package was.
Yes, yes. So looking forward. You guys have tracking numbers. You should eagerly track those packages, mainly so I don't have to. And also, I had some fan interaction on our Facebook, I believe, group, where a friend of the show and fan posted a link to incontrovertible proof that the amazing, worshipped Boba Fett killed Luke Skywalker's parents, and proceeded to be kind of an angry troll about that, because I think he's the most overinflated piece of crap bit clip character ever, as you guys know. And to anybody involved in that thread who found me a little bit too harsh, I apologize, but please understand my dislike for Boba Fett goes back to my childhood when I just thought he was a stormtrooper with stupidly painted armor.
You mean when he was actually a stormtrooper with stupidly painted armor?
Yes, yes. I just thought he like graffitied up his armor. He was like a kid who couldn't color in my mind, okay? Which was the worst thing you could be. So with that said, my Weekly Geekly is concluded. And I think we can get our interview started with tonight's guests and discuss the heroes of cosplay television program.
Bring on the heroes! Bring on the cosplay.
Bring on the heroes! All right, cool. Okay, so now we welcome our special cosplay guests, Andrea and Kayla. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
We brought you guys in as consultants because we need professional insider opinions on a particular television show we've been watching lately. But before we get to that, I think we should establish your bona fides with the audience by asking who you are, what your role is, I guess, in the world of cosplay, how long you've been cosplaying, et cetera, et cetera. Anything you care to share with the audience to sell yourselves as top tier cosplay guests, which we know you are.
Top tier.
Go ahead, Andrea, you first.
Oh, thanks. I've been cosplaying for like maybe 6 years and gone to a few cons out of state. I like to compete because it's fun and gives me a reason to try hard. So I don't know. That's about it. I like making armor. It's cool.
Sweet.
Is that all the questions? I don't know.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. And sweet. Thanks for being on. No.
See y'all later.
So you enjoy the craftsmanship as much as the being on stage and competing?
Yeah, I mean, I was always a swimmer growing up, so I like competing. It was kind of something I've always done, like sports and stuff. So translating that over to a hobby just seems, I don't know, natural. And getting up on stage, I don't really like that a whole lot because I get nervous, but I do like going to judging and describing, you know, how I made stuff and talking to other people in line for competitions. That's really fun. You get to meet a lot of people that way.
So you'd say you enjoy sharing the technical details of your cosplay.
Yes, this very technical, you know, finer details.
Has your attention to technical details been recognized in the form of any awards?
You know, a few dozen times, perhaps. No, not that many. But yeah, that's usually what I get, just the technical. I think I've won...
Well, you won at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I did. I won Best Use of Materials, which is like their version of a technical award. So that was pretty special. But when you do think, like I used milk jug, the bottom of a milk jug for a toe cap on boot armor, and you do stuff like that, and then you talk about it too much, and then they give you a technical award. That's pretty much how to do that.
Or making your armor out of tinfoil.
Yeah, I was thinking of hosting a panel on how to get technical awards.
Would you say that a clever use of found objects is definitely going to boost your chances of winning an award like that?
It will, and also if you drone on and on about it in very, very detailed manner, the judges will love that and give you
technical once their eyes glaze over, it's anything to get you off the stage. Yes, yes, you're okay. All right.
Yeah, so if you talk really monotone and don't breathe a whole lot too, till you can get everything in the 3-minute time cap, they like that.
And keep your eyes like fixed on the stage. Don't look up too much.
No, I mean, well, in the judging, you're not on stage. You're just, it's not like on the show at all.
Oh, it's not?
I thought that was reality.
No.
What? What?
Hold on.
Get out of town. So how do these technical discussions happen then in the real world of cosplay?
Well, in a judge competition, at least down here in Florida, in most contests I've been in, you have prejudging, which I believe they did that in the last episode.
Yeah, they showed that in the last episode.
That's how
KatsuCon.
Yeah, that's almost all the competitions I've ever been in have gone. See.
So when we see all the cosplayers nervously queued up for what seems like ever while I'm enjoying like the rest of a con, they're going in to be judged by these people, basically.
Yes.
Wow, during the pre-judging. See, we gained valuable insight into
It usually takes all day, and you'll go for prejudging, and there'll be a panel of judges there, and you'll come in, and because I did a lot of judging, so I was going to get to that.
Oh yeah, well I haven't even gotten to ask you your background.
So, yes. I didn't want to interrupt, you know.
No. You know what? Actually, now is as perfect time as any for you to tell us about your judging and your own involvement in cosplay. Kayla.
Cool. Okay, my name is Kayla, otherwise known as Blue Eyes Dante, and I've been cosplaying for 10 years. Really, it's been 13, but it's been a little on and off. But I've been judging costume contest for 6 years of that, and judged many costume contests and hosted them as well. At one point, I think I was cosplay coordinator for 3 different conventions, so I love to take in everybody's costumes and really, you know, look at the craftsmanship and how it was made and what skills they used. And based off of that, you know, we would give them awards. So I actually worked with Yaya Han. So I was going to bring that up. And we've judged many times together. And she's really sweet in person. And she will always remember your name. You know, she meets thousands of people, you know. And she'll always remember, oh my gosh, Kayla, you know, and it astonishes me every time. But yes, in Florida, we do aesthetic costume contests where it's just, you know, kind of like modeling. You just go on and it's very much like the show, what they've shown so far. You know, you go on. Sometimes they let you talk about your costume. Sometimes they don't. And you just kind of do a little turn on a catwalk and walk off. And then a lot of the anime conventions is more of the prejudging, where you have, you either come in numerical order, or you have a set time that you come in to meet the judges, and you have 3 minutes to explain your costume, how you made it, you know, where you bought it, stuff like that, and judges take notes and then go from there. And then that way, all the awards are ready at the end, so nobody's waiting around, you know.
They make you wait anyhow to build suspense and some nonsense. It's retarded.
Commercial break.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. Won a few awards myself. I think I've won 13 awards.
Nice.
Mostly smaller awards. Won 2 best in shows, including one with Andrea. So, recently.
As a team?
What's that?
As a team? Andrea doesn't seem to recall. She's like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, we did Lolita versions of dwarfs from the Hobbit. And we won a best in show for that.
I was actually a Hobbit.
Big difference.
I was the tallest one, and I was the Hobbit. Oops.
It was fun. So, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. So,
and your motivation, Andrea cited sort of her love of competition stemming from her prior aquatic athletics career as a motivation. Did you have a similar, what do you have a thirst for competition yourself or for judging?
Yes, definitely. I also was a competitive swimmer, but I was a synchronized swimmer.
Oh.
So I did the dancing in the water.
Yay.
And, yeah. And then I also was a theater kid. So I, you know, I went to art school my whole life, you know, from elementary school all the way through college, and just did technical costuming all through then. And it just kind of evolved through that. And that's where I take it from. I really have a love for the community. And, you know, the fact that you can be a chameleon and really transform yourself into anything you want to be, no matter, you know, what you look like, it's all about the illusion for me. So that's pretty much it.
Cool. I want to share a quick personal detail of mine. I was very good in the water myself as a kid. I was one of the few who could float with or without the aid of an inner tube, owing to my portliness as a child. So I was very buoyant, and I was probably the best, like, idle floater you were ever going to meet on the water there. So
Olympic quality.
Olympic quality loafer and floater, yes. It was great. So do you guys have any particular characters or genres or types of cosplay you guys like to do more than others?
Go ahead, Kayla. You made me go first last time.
Okay. We tend to, because me and Andrea just recently, we've known each other for years. And we've only just, hey, we kind of live close to each other. So we really play off of each other's strengths. That's what we're starting to find out, you know. Andrea is really awesome at doing all props, anything props, anything construction-wise. And
I hate sewing. Kayla's awesome at sewing, so it works out really well.
So, you know, we try to play off of each other's strengths, and that's how we start looking at characters to costume. You know, I tried to do, like, puffy dresses and really fabric-oriented costumes. You know, I kind of touched here and there on the armor, but it would just never could really understand it properly. So that's why I kind of stuck a little more of the fabric.
The armor, army being a little technical, you might say.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It'll get you a technical award. I've never properly been taught how to sew. I think a lot of cosplayers just kind of teach themselves, though, but, you know, just by reading patterns and following them. So, like, I can sew, and if I try really hard, it'll come out okay, but I don't enjoy it the same as I enjoy crafting armor or a big wooden prop or, you know, whittling something, you know, like that's really fun for me.
Sewing seems tedious, and it seems like you can very slowly and without realizing it, sew yourself into a irretrievable corner and get angry.
It's really a precise thing. You have to be very precise, and I'm not really precise at all. So
you also have to know how the fabric works too, and different types of fabric will move certain ways and others won't. So it's really a lot of costuming is fabric choice, and it's very key and something I look for when I'm judging people. So example, Andrea's your Xena, awesome. She chose to do out of leather, and it's just the proper look, you know, the proper feel and whatnot. So it all works. So you wouldn't make that costume out of broadcloth or something.
No. Just go to a thrift store and you cut up a leather trench coat. That's how you do that.
Well, while we're talking about materials, it's I'm like a DIY guy, a maker. I'm like one step away from cosplaying pretty much. I build all kinds of props, robots, electronics, all kinds of weird, stupid, crazy shit. And the one thing about watching this show that I've noticed is, and from being out in LA, being in New York, those two cities in particular have so many like material houses, whether it's fabric or weird.
A whole store of foam.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, exactly. The foam store.
I know. I was dying.
So, you know, with just the stuff that I'm into, and I kind of create based on what I find, and I don't find much around here to inspire me. I couldn't even imagine what it would be like for you guys who have something specific in mind and you can't just go to a store around here and get it. So how do you guys handle that? Or are these like magical stores that I don't know about and I'm left in the dark because I'm not cosplaying?
Well, there are some magical stores, but they have nowhere near. Like, we'll watch the show together and, you know, we'll look at each other and be like, there's an entire store of foam. What?
Lucky.
You know, we have to MacGyver things. You know, it's all about the MacGyver. And it's difficult when you can't find the proper material to use it and you have to order it. And
so do you guys basically just find yourselves finding places online or and stuff like that?
No, I make my armor out of tinfoil and cardboard and, you
know, plastics.
Yeah, plastics is a great material. It's like a basically flat PVC vinyl siding.
Uh-huh.
And it's thin, you cut it with scissors, and it won't do a bell curve, but you can do other curves, so you can make plate armor out of it.
And where do you guys even find that? Because actually,
that's at Lowe's.
So you can get that at Lowe's.
Yeah. It's like $18 for a 4x8 foot sheet of it. It's really cheap, and it's really forgiving. And I built a lot of armor. I use that as a base because it's so sturdy. It's about the same thickness as craft foam, so instead of using craft foam, you can use Plastex, and it's super sturdy, and you can rivet it and you bolt it together, and it's not going to break, you know?
Nice.
So that's my favorite product that's local. I know a lot of people use Warbler now, and I've had a lot of people ask me, like, oh, is that made of Warbler? I'm like, no, that's made from tinfoil. Warbler is like $50. I can go to Dollar Tree and buy tinfoil.
Yeah.
Nice.
And also foam core, too, is another from the dollar store.
Yeah.
Andrea has taught me how to use said foam core and masking tape and spackle, and you can make some really awesome stuff with it.
You can make almost any shape from it and then smooth it out with spackle and then cover it with like hard coat, a resin or something, and it's as sturdy as anything, and it costs like $5 to make. So
you guys realize with that technique, you're like one step away from like auto body mechanic.
It is. You know, a lot of people use Bondo as a finisher, and I don't like Bondo because it makes everything really heavy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'll use spackle and then like a hard coat Mod Podge over it, and it's not nearly as durable as Bondo, but it's still so much lightweight, you can make a big prop with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's badass.
Agreed.
It's kind of technical.
Highly. Technical, I mean,
that's the biggest thing I'm interested in with watching this show is seeing how they do all of those technical type of things. And as cool as it was to see like a whole badass store full of foam, it's to me, it's more badass to hear how you guys skirt that, and you don't have the ability to go to the foam store. So you got to make do. It's so much more creative and so much more technical.
Yeah.
You win the award.
Yay.
Well,
This year's Ganzos, you can look forward to your technical awards.
Yes.
An example, actually, me and Andrea were talking about this sort of thing. We were kind of discussing the show and how, you know, how good those heroes of cosplay have it. You know, with their stores in Atlanta, and you know, you can go to a makeup store and buy a latex bald cap that won't show any hair. and how people who are in the Midwest, you know, who have a little general store, you know, and they don't have anything else, how they MacGyver more so than us, because they don't even have Lowe's or Home Depot out right. there. So, and I find that when I'm judging, I take that to a higher account. Like, I remember one girl, she lived in the Keys, and they don't have any fabric stores in the Florida Keys. So they only had thrift stores. So she would take, you know, pieces of trench coats and jackets and whatnot, and make all of her costumes out of that, and bed sheets and curtains. So, you know, I thought that was very, you know, unique. And she used what was available to her. And, you know, you kind of just have to make do. So
that's hardcore. And that's really doing it for the love of it. I mean, you also exactly. can't deny that. Because that's got to be so hard and frustrating to wait, oh, maybe this week they're going to have that extra 2 feet that I need of that specific fabric or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, we do thrift store trips, and we're like, oh, what can we use this for? You know, our favorite thrift store, World Thrift. Me and Andrew will just go to and be like, oh, this is cool. We should use this for something.
They organize all their clothing by color, so you can just go to the purple section when you need something purple. It's amazing. Nice. It's time. I love it. It's the best. My Bilbo skirt, I did the Lolita Bilbo outfit, and my skirt was a bed sheet from the thrift store. So it was the right color, and it cost like $4. So I was pretty happy when I found that.
So, I mean, is your eye so keen that you can tell where somebody derived their materials, or do you basically ask them during the process of judging?
Sometimes you'll recognize certain materials, like from Joann's, because everybody shops at Joann's, and you'll recognize, like, their Casa Satin or, you know, their corduroys, things like that. But other than that, like, I wouldn't know, because so many people now can order from, like, fabric.com. I have a friend who lives in California. She just moved, and she's 45 minutes from any fabric store. So she just orders swatches and buys all her stuff almost online now. Kind of convenient for her, I guess.
With certain things, definitely. I totally am agreeing with Andrea. You know, you can look at it. With fabric, it's a lot easier to see what something is made out of or how they made it. You know, I'm almost at the point now where I can, you know, I'll look through the patterns at Joann's, and I'll take note of all the silhouettes, and I can tell which patterns people used on their costumes or altered on them. Because somebody doesn't make an anime pattern for that specific character.
Right.
So you have to take something and make it MacGyver it once again into the pattern that you need. So a lot of steampunk is like that. A lot of steampunk patterns. If you're making your own costume, there's about 4 of them. They have different brands, and people mix and match. Actually, we're working on a costume. Yeah. We're working on, do you want to tell them what we're working on?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
We're making the ugly stepsisters from Cinderella, but like a steampunk version. So a friend of mine that moved to Washington is coming in. She's doing steampunk Cinderella, and I thought it would be really cool to go, hey, look at us. We're your ugly sisters. So we're piecing together different patterns, and I mean, we've drafted some of it from scratch because it's what we want. This doesn't have, no one makes it because we're trying to kind of be tacky and ugly. So
yeah.
Are you guys going to be debuting this for like Halloween or a con, or when do we get to see pictures, basically?
You can check out, we post progress pictures on our cosplay pages, but we're going to be going to a photo shoot and also Mickey's Not So Scary.
I thought we were at PalmCon.
Oh, and PalmCon, too.
That's like a week from Saturday, so we've got to kind of hustle on that.
I completely forgot about PalmCon.
You've got a short deadline?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can we get some cameras on you? I think we've got the makings of a reality show here.
Except, you know, we actually are doing them right before the con. Unlike a lot of the costumes, you see them panicking to finish before the con on the show, have actually been done a long time before, and it's a bit staged. But it's staged in a way that's kind of realistic. I mean, that stuff does happen. It just didn't happen in those cases.
Right.
How typical would you say it is for the cosplayer to arrive at the convention only to have that cosplayer significant other laboring on the costume?
I've never had any, I don't know anyone who has their significant other make their costumes for them personally, but
So you guys, unlike certain people on this show, would not specifically date someone just to have them make your stuff?
Well.
Although it has never been said, that is my belief.
Well, not so much dating people. But
implying
I've
that
made,
you might date them, maybe?
I've made a lot of costumes for other people. So
he's a lot nicer than I am.
Yeah, I kind of have a bleeding heart, and I'm like, oh, I'll just make your costume. And then I'm like crying the night before, you know, my fingers are bleeding, and I'm like, why did I say yes?
Wow, you put yourself through that much stress just to help people
yeah,
have fun at the convention?
Exactly, wow. Because I truly love it. And, like, you don't know that experience when you go to a con and somebody recognizes your character and they ask for your picture. And it's just, it really transforms you. And it's the community, you know, even though that person could probably take your picture and put it in, like, a spank bank. You know, you don't know, oh, but it's
or
just.
Or post it online just to make fun of you. That's always nice, too.
Exactly.
Have you guys had that happen? Have you had somebody, like, ridicule you, take your picture, and then proceed
to... Everyone that cosplays has had someone say something horrible about them online, because that's the nature of the internet. You gotta roll with it, but...
Yeah. I think the level of nastiness that I've seen on display by some of the, what are we gonna call them, stars of the Heroes of Cosplay show... which
like the heroes themselves?
Are they the heroes? I'm still waiting for the heroes to take the stage. I don't know where
According
they are.
According to the webpage, they're all listed as, it has their name and then it says hero under it. So
yeah, I was actually looking for a cast link and couldn't find it, and then realized that they were listed under heroes and thought that was a little weird. But I actually have a very specific question because I have a feeling Tom's alluding to some inner sanctum squabbling and bitchiness going on between haters of each other. But there was one of the episodes, and I think it was the first one where that Chloe chick was competing, and they were sitting at a bar, and the group was divided between some of them believing that you should only cosplay in something that you look good and you're representing the character perfectly, and then other people were kind of like, hey, if you're fortunate enough to do that, that's cool, but you should also not be made fun of if you're doing it just for the love of doing it. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I've always believed in, you know, cosplay whatever you like. If you really, truly love a character and you can cosplay, go ahead, go for it. I'm all for it. Doesn't matter what your size is. I think... That whole scene in Heroes of Cosplay was edited very heavily because I do follow Yaya, and, you know, I think they made her out to be a lot more bitchy in that scene than she really is, you know, me knowing her personally. What she was trying to say was, be aware of what you look like, no matter what your size is, and just wear something that is flattering to your shape, whether you're 300 pounds, whether you're 100 pounds. Because you can look bad when you're skinny, too.
Right. And actually, Yaya was very... I didn't take offense to anything she said. I thought she was pretty right on target with what she was saying and how she was saying it, especially being a judge and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But some of the other people were really just like, if you're a fat pig, you shouldn't be wearing it.
Yeah,
and
then
she was just like,
right.
Really? Jesus Christ, just because you're 98 pounds and whatever. And by the way, your outfit doesn't look good, Monica.
Oh.
Whatever the fuck your name is.
You have a responsibility not to leave the house if I don't like the way you look, you piece of crap. Like, that's kind of,
And that's the thing. Like, people are going to make fun of you no matter what you look like. If you're... like she was saying, 100 pounds or 300 pounds, is someone online is going to think you look horrible, and because they can be anonymous on the internet, they're going to say whatever they want and be as hurtful as they want, because that's just, unfortunately, how it is with the internet. You know, even in person, people might be rude to you, but it's really exponential online with anonymity.
But just like you guys said, I mean, even if somebody looks really good, you know, or they consider themselves, okay, let's say somebody's fit and wearing an outfit that's, okay, it's too revealing, so now she's a whore, now she's, you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's overweight, and that's really, hate's going to come whether it's out of jealousy or making fun of or whatever.
God forbid you age a couple of years and then all of a sudden you're old online. You know, oh, you're not 18 anymore. Oh, you're old. You're too old to cosplay. Okay. Yeah. I'll, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, really, let's be honest. People really have about 3 to 4 years where they're presentable in public, and then everybody else, they just need to put on, like, robes and cowls and not show themselves. Yeah,
I just decades past my prime, and I still do it, so whatever.
Well, we're trying to get you to become a recluse, Rick, because the world does not want you to be out in public if you're over the age of, like, 22, okay? Okay.
See, I'm just looking forward to when I'm older and I can cosplay all those cool older characters that I really want to, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot more dumb things to make. Like, I want to make King Theoden really badly, but my face isn't quite there yet.
you're working on it, Andrea?
Yeah, I work out in the I work at the beach, so I'm in the sun every day. So I give myself a couple of years, and I should be able to pull it off.
She uses Armor All and olive oil while she's out there. She's really trying to tan up that hide.
You can actually create out of tinfoil a reflector to amplify the sun.
That's brilliant, yeah.
And the technical award goes to.
How did you achieve that weathering effect on your face? Oh, it's technical. You don't want to know.
I lay it out in the sun every day.
Years of work. I forged my own skin. But yeah, you're never going to please everybody. So, you know, there will always be one person who will hate on you no matter what you do. You know, you can be the sweetest person to them and be like, oh, you're still a bitch, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I say. You're still a bitch.
I post there. About Kayla online all the time. She just doesn't know it.
I knew it was you. You bitch, you're not on my level. I'm not going to cosplay with you anymore.
Oh, burn.
Slams door.
You're the last person I would consider cosplaying with, Kayla. Oh.
I heard some stuff about you, too, also, that I'm going to post online because I heard it somewhere. So what do you think of that?
Oh, yeah.
If you heard it online, it must be true. That's fact.
It's been heard. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone in hearing it.
All right, Tom, weren't you going to ask about – they were actually just going through that same little interaction that we were talking about before the show with that one chick telling Becky that she wasn't good enough to work with her.
Oh,
oh God, we were dying in that part. That poor girl.
Let me back up for just a second. Before we dive into the specifics, specifically what Rick's talking about, because I do want to get to it, let's start at the 30,000-foot view. What is your impression of the show Heroes of Cosplay? Like it, don't like it, accurate, not accurate, just generally?
I think it's just typical American reality TV trashy show. And it's a lot of, I don't think it's bad for the cosplay community, however. Like, as far as accuracy, the show is edited to make it more dramatic, but a lot of that ridiculous drama that they edit and build up on the show does happen in real life in different ways. So I don't think it's entirely inaccurate. Yeah.
It's a good representation of 10% of the community, basically. Because there's other forms of cosplay other than just going solely to compete, you know, on Saturday, and that's it.
Right. Say you've got thousands of people in costumes at a convention, and you've got, say, 80 in a contest. You know, so the percentage of people that are entering contests and competing are very small. Most people are just there to have fun.
Right. I see a lot of, like, I see, like, families and stuff doing it. And they seem to just be having a great time dressing up and not having their hopes and dreams shattered competition.
Yeah. It gets really serious when it comes to competition, like any other competition, you know, no matter what you do. And the cosplay drama is nothing new. This has been happening for, you know, since cosplay started. You know, somebody bought their costume and competed. Oh, my, you know, they passed it off as their own. You know, that's not new. You know, it happens to me personally with some of the costumes that I've made for people. And it's just the way the community is. And, you know, people do, you know, sew in the hotel room the night before the competition.
In my hotel room, even. Keeps you awake.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what kind of people are these that you allow that would do this, you know, in your room? That's inconsiderate.
They're jerky friends of mine.
Gosh. And show such a lack of, like, forethought and planning, too.
Well, there's a lot of people lack time management skills that, others. You should give yourself more time if you know you take a long time to make something. Yeah. Give yourself more time. But, you know, real life gets in the way. Cosplay is just a hobby, and it's like it's never the top priority, or it should never be the top priority in your life. So
unless you're looking to make it a living.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like some of these people who already have it as a living, which...
Yeah, who may or may not be on the very show we're talking about, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But yeah, cosplay is a hobby. And depending on how seriously you take it, you know, is how seriously you're going to be about it. So people with time management, definitely, you know, a few friends we have don't have those skills, but... You know, you just got to know, along with knowing your body, like Yaya was saying in that one episode, you have to know yourself too. You have to know your pace that you work at and what you can create in what time, especially when you're picking a costume to cosplay. And if you want to compete, if you don't want to compete, it all depends on how you make it, because I will work specifically harder on a costume that I'm competing in. And on the other hand, I'll be like, oh, it's just a hall costume I'll be wearing around, you know, Sunday after everybody's hungover. So
another thing to consider when picking a costume, say, like when I decided to make Xena 2 weeks before the con, is what resources you have, like Kayla, who came over a million times and helped me finish it, you know, the shoes. It's, you got to, you know, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you got to know what's available to you.
Yeah.
And how you work and how you get stuff done. You know, deciding that it's nowhere near the show. You know, I know we've touched on this before in our previous conversation. You don't start working on a major, like, Tron dress 2 weeks before.
Well.
Or your boyfriend.
You don't work on it at all, right? Yeah, you just have somebody else to work on it.
Yeah.
I can't believe these complex electronics are not working the way they should be after one day of preparation. This is absurd.
Oh, man. That was
Rick and I have done enough electronics tinkering to know that the wind blows the wrong way. None of your circuits will work right. So my heart went out to that guy.
I actually, I had to, I was working on a Diablo costume to do with Andrea. She was doing her barbarian. I was actually making Diablo. And I was my first time working with electronics, and I did have my boyfriend helping me, just because I tend to electrocute myself when I'm working with stuff. And, you know, I'll burn holes through my legs with hot glue guns and stuff like that. I tend to hurt myself a lot when I'm working with hot objects. So, you know, I was over his shoulder the whole time, you know, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? And, you know, I was there for him when he was helping me, and I plan to learn from that and continue on with it. You know, he'll show me his skills, and then I'll build off of that. But he's not making my entire costume. Absolutely not. You know, I'm carving all my foam tail, and my Diablo head is all tinfoil and craft foam and whatnot. So...
Hot glue.
So sounds like you're putting in, you know, sufficient time badgering him such that you can take credit for everything, to include his work.
Well, no, I mean.
Oh. So do you? All right,
I'm joking.
Are you kidding?
I don't know if it's editing or what the deal is, but it really seems like that Victoria chick cannot catch a break, because it seems like they are editing her to have absolutely zero time management skills, as well as talent, and that it's all up to her boyfriend. And I have a hard time believing that that's true, and I kind of feel like she's getting the short end of the stick, but I do have to admit that it's my favorite part of the show is yelling at her when I'm watching it.
Yeah, they definitely make her out to be a bad guy in the show. I don't know. Even in the first episode when she's, you know, they're in the fabric store and she's yelling at him why that fabric is, you know, the wrong fur for this costume. And he's just like, oh, okay, honey. You know?
Right. And you know the exit door to the store is not far away. And all he would have to do is put one foot in front of the other, and then he'd be out that door and away from her. And it's frustrating that he doesn't just walk away.
Yeah. And I'm sure she's a really sweet person. I think it's just... editing. You know, we were talking about this. You know, this show has really made me think of reality TV in a different way. Are those toddlers and tiara moms, you know,
as bad
who are
as,
yelling yep. at their daughter, are they really just not?
It could be that we missed the part where he was like, no, the exact fabric you want is at this aisle in this store. Definitely. I saw it with my own eyes. Then they got there and it was wrong. You know, he could be the bad guy.
Yeah. You never know. So it's hard to say. Can't really judge people off of TV, but what do you do when it's there?
Right, I mean, if I couldn't judge people, I wouldn't watch the show, right?
Exactly.
Point. So accuracy-wise, you would say dubious levels of accuracy and dubious levels of sort of authenticity when it comes to portraying sort of cosplay as an art or as a community.
Definitely.
It's real hit and miss. You know, some things are on point and some things are way off, I'd say.
Okay.
Like the whole in the last episode, not this one that aired tonight, because I haven't watched it yet, but the last episode with Becky and Monica, when they had that whole drama of you're not on my level, and how Becky was judging an aesthetic contest where the people just walked on and walked off, you know, and it was all based on their acting and portraying the character. You know, that's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why knock on her on something when it's her shtick? And Monica, you know, Becky was nice enough to come to Monica and, you know, ask her, but
I think it was Ricky that gave her shit.
No, right? It wasn't Ricky. It was Monica. Oh, okay. Was Yaya's protege.
Oh, I thought that was Ricky. My bad.
No.
They look the same. I can't tell. I'm looking in the tiny little, like, I don't want to click. I have the webpage open, and I'm looking at their little icons because I don't want the video to play, and they all look the same. pictures. Sorry.
Yeah, Monica's the one who's, like, 17 and...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's young, too. That's another thing on top of it. You know, that was such a 17-year-old thing to say to somebody.
Right. And I did find it funny because as a viewer and somebody who doesn't really know anything much about cosplay except for seeing the people doing it at cons, watching the show, and even I understood why Becky was up there as a judge, but all you kept seeing was these cuts of Monica bitching, why is she a judge? She has no craftsman skills. She's not judging craftsmanship. So shut the hell up and leave her alone.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where it was like, is she really that pissed? Or is this just like good edit after good edit after good edit to make bad person, bad person, bad person?
I think that was just one of those points where it just started happening and the cameras are like, okay, let's get this
right.
Good stuff. So
so you admit that some of this might not all be fabricated. We may
no,
be seeing
this,
some elements
this stuff
of
actually happens, you know. Okay. People take their craft seriously.
Yeah, it's hard to say in this instance if it's true or not, but this theme does happen.
I've seen it enough to where I can believe that it happened.
Now I have a question pertaining to Yaya and her little protege, Monica. So one of the things that Yaya was sort of chastising her protege for was aligning herself too closely with this other blonde woman who
Jessica.
Was not... Right, Jessica. You may be friends with her, so as we know, you are friends with all the cosplay luminaries.
Oh.
So
no!
I don't want to say... I have to wonder why this apparent rival of Yaya was not made part of the show. That would have made for some extreme reality drama, I would think.
I think she opted to not be on the show, actually. From what I'd heard, they asked her to be on the show and she didn't want to. But Jessica and Yaya aren't really cosplay enemies or anything. They're actually friends. So I think there was some heavy editing and all of that going on. They actually put a video out together afterwards talking about how we don't hate each other, we're actually friends, and this show is just making it out to be not how it is. Unless that's more publicity. I don't know, but they were in the video together. I watched it.
Yeah, well, they both live in Atlanta, and they've started cosplaying with each other long ago. And she explains it in the video. They talk about what they worked together. And if you look at some of her old photos in the group that she's been in, like the My Little Pony group they did, Jessica was in that.
So some of the other girls on here, right?
Exactly,
They all cosplayed together. They're all at least friendly with each other in real life. So it was frustrating that first episode for them to go, oh my God, Yaya's judging, oh, and like act all crazy because you know they all know each other.
And Yaya, too, when she's judging her friends... from when I've worked with her, she tends to be a little more critical with her friends because she knows what they are capable of.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there was a particular question she asked of the demanding girlfriend, whose name eludes me at the moment.
For Victoria?
Yeah, where she basically asked her a question that no sort of objective, impartial judge would think to ask, which is, well, how much of your costume did you do by yourself? Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong that somebody gets help, but because she has personal knowledge, this woman's held to a higher standard. I didn't think that was really fair.
I think that's a fair question. I mean, unless it's a walk-on modeling kind of contest, that's a very fair question that I think most judges will ask, is if did you make this, did you buy it, what parts of it did you do if you didn't do all of it? That's pretty standard, I think.
I think it was more in the way that it was presented, because yeah. You're right. Like, they did ask, like, we've seen, I think when Ricky was dressed up as the Rocketeer, the Betty Page Rocketeer, they went through and they asked her, you know, what she made, how she made it, things like that. But it almost seemed like when they were asking Victoria about that Tron dress, it was just straight up, okay, I know your boyfriend, whatever his name is, made this whole thing, and I'm just going to ask it in the most blatant throw-you-under-the-bus way possible.
Right, that's what it felt like. It was way too personal. Like, I didn't see her asking, like, the steampunk stormtrooper if his dad helped him or anything.
You didn't see it, but, I mean, that just didn't cut it that way, you know?
Exactly.
It could have been a standard question. Okay.
Yeah, Yaya always asks that. You know, tell me about your costume is how, you know, you always start off judging people. Okay, so they'll start, and usually people are nervous when they're talking, so you want to kind of lead them into questions.
Right.
And that's how it's presented. And I think that's where they took that from. So you'll ask them, okay, tell me about your costume, and they'll you can see people, and they're like,
So how much of your costume did you make?
Exactly.
Right.
It's a segue question.
Exactly. But edited properly, it looks like a bitch question.
Exactly.
Or like an interrogation. So. You could have like a nice interrogation session.
I was actually thrilled when she asked the question. I was like, yeah.
I was too. I stood up and I was like, boom, under the bus.
What else have you gotten help with in your life? Have you ever done anything on your own? Why are you even here? Go home. Like, you just totally obliterate this.
Well, I'm just surprised.
You happen to get on this show because you know a certain judge? Did you?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you think? Yeah.
I found it amusing as TV drama how they edited her responding to the question more so than the question of her just, you know, they made it seem like she was completely avoiding it, you know, just
yeah, like, deer in the headlights, like, exactly. How dare you ask me that, my dear friend Yaya?
Yeah.
How much fun did you have with this? Well, you know, I love Wednesdays. It's a great day to be here. That was pretty bad, actually, yeah. It was like an abrupt evasion.
Yes. So it was probably taken from a previous conversation at the beginning of the, you know, when she walked on stage. And
right, exactly.
Wait, here's another question. This is another bit of insider information that I'm sure only you guys can impart. If you are working on a pretty elaborate costume for an event, let's say, you know, like PalmCon coming up, and you don't get it done. Let's just say hypothetically you were in a really weird position where you didn't have a lot of time, your time management skills were suspect, and you're probably not going to have it done by then.
Would you just show on stage at the illustrious PalmCon?
PalmCon. Let's just say, if you didn't make the deadline for PalmCon, would you just completely throw that costume out and then start on a Tron costume? Or would you just go ahead and finish that for the next con coming up?
Depended on how much I hate the costume and making it.
Yeah.
How's Diablo coming along there, Kayla?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Diablo didn't happen, but it's going to happen.
See too many glue burns for you on that one? Or?
I really did hurt myself. You know, I laid my leg on top of a hot glue gun. And
big hole in her leg. It was impressive. I think it's scarred.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I should have gone to the hospital. But sometimes it's okay. Here's an example. One of my friends had a costume, and she was driving down to the con. It wasn't done, and she got in a really bad car accident. And you know, she stuck it out and did the costume in the hotel room, finished it, and competed in it. But she won't ever want to make that costume again, though, because of that stigma she has with the accident.
The association, yeah.
Exactly. So I keep encouraging her, like, you should remake that costume, you know, so you don't have that bad memory. And it's, you know, it's just how you personally feel about it. Like, let's say you're making a costume and your boyfriend breaks up with you, you know, and you associate that character now with your boyfriend breaking up with you. Of course, you're not going to make it again, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, if it was like a Diablo thing and, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always like to finish my stuff. I hate leaving projects undone. And because I've spent time and money already on that. So I'm going to finish it. That's just how I am. But I know some people who start on stuff and just completely scrap it and go on to the next thing.
I've scrapped a costume before just because I didn't have the skills to do it right. But other than that, I have pretty decent time management skills. Like, I don't need to sleep a whole lot, so.
That's one way to get around time as a constraint.
I get a lot of breaks at work, so I just bring all my crap to work and work on it there. So nice. A lot of my friends hate me for that because I put pictures and I'm like sitting here and I get like 3 hours of break time during the day and I just bring my sewing machine or whatever the hell just to work with me. And yeah, it's very useful.
I kind of hate you for that. And I don't even cosplay. Like, I want 3 hours a day to goof around. I mean, sorry, to do productive. Wait. Is cosplay goofing around or is it work? It's hard to say. Feels like work.
Feels like work. Yeah, it's definitely work. You know, you're not gonna, if you want an amazing costume, it's a lot of work. Like, I think that's a lot of people don't understand that, how much work goes into awesome costumes.
But it's enjoyable work. Like, exactly. I like to do it. It's like not a negative connotation work. Like, oh, I have to go 9-to-5 work. It's fun.
It's, yeah.
It's like Diablo. You like it for some reason. You don't know why. So you just keep playing. You know, it takes time.
I liked it because I put the time into it, you know, getting my necromancer up to level 92 and then, you know, in the second game, and then I played the third one and I'm like, I'm gonna play it anyways. So it's pretty.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game, and it's gonna have an expansion.
It's pretty.
New graphics.
Do either one of you guys have any aspirations, like some of the people on the show, to become professional prop makers? Or costume makers?
I don't know. A lot of my friends, like parents on Facebook, are like, Andrew, you should do that for a living. That's so cool. But in reality, it's, if it was a job, it wouldn't be fun the same way it is because I wouldn't get to do whatever I want. And I don't know about the film industry down here in South Florida, but
it's not much, it's not here much anymore.
Yeah, it's not really existent at all. So I personally have no aspirations to make a living off of it. Some people do a lot of commissions and make money off of it that way.
That was my next question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I only make stuff that fits me. Like, I would be kind of, I'd have to have someone local where I could fit them over and over again to make sure it was right. It would just be a pain in the butt. And it's never worth your, you know, if you charge minimum wage plus supplies, no one wants to pay that much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, I've done commissions, so I've tried the business side of things, and it's just, it's really hard to compete with China.
I was just going to suggest you guys set up a factory in China and just ship your designs out to them.
Yeah, and a lot of people are very specific in what they want, and it's hard to please people, especially in this this industry. So more props to people who do make it a living. I don't plan to make it a living. I just plan on to, it would be nice. I would love to be a prop builder or, you know, costume designer for a movie, but, you know, it's just the area I live in. You know, I don't have that available to me. So
no immediate plans. Very clever use of the word props and prop, by the way. That was good. Well done.
That, so. And I also like the fact that I think all of Andrea's parents or friends' parents are Canadian, I think.
Wait, did I miss some Canadianisms in her description of the props that she was getting?
Just the voiceover of the parents. It was that was awesome.
It was accidental. I do. There's lots of Canadians at the beach I work at, so it's hard to keep it out. Terrible.
It sounds like hell on earth, Canadians.
It is. And they all come up with the same joke about when am I going to turn the wind off every time.
Gosh, when are they going to turn I-95 off, huh? Make it only flow in reverse.
Can we just close our borders at the north, too?
I'm going to turn Canada off.
So done with Canada.
Oh, man.
Wow, better you than me. I guess a final question I wanted to ask you guys about the show Heroes of Cosplay is, how well received do you think it has been by the local, national, however far out you want to take it, cosplay community? Do you think it's been received positively, poorly, people ambivalent, don't care?
I think originally people were all up in arms about it and get upset for whatever reason, I don't know, because it's not, everyone wants it to be like Face Off, you know, like a real cool show about how people make stuff and like Project Runway or something like that. And the fact that it's just a, you know, toddlers and tiaras drama kind of show upset people. But from what I've heard and my friends, they now kind of love the fact it's terrible and have drinking games about it and enjoy it a lot for the fact that it is horrible. So
realized it is what it is. It's American reality, fake TV, and the subject matter isn't going to make or break cosplaying. Once this is over, you're probably never going to hear about it again.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to watch the show and go, man, I had really wanted to cosplay, but now I'm never going to. You know, mm-hmm. It's not got that kind of influence, I think, on anybody.
Yeah. My opinion about it is, you know, people were prepared. As soon as they heard that they were making a show about cosplay, people were prepared to hate it from the beginning. And yes, it was first received by the community. Oh my God, this show is terrible, blah, 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 blah. But people still watch it, you know, and they're enthralled with it. And now I watched an interview with Yaya about it, and she was talking how families will sit down and watch it with each other and have started making costumes. And I don't know how much of that is true or not, but, you know, it's definitely bad press is still good press. So it shows our community, it shows a very small piece of our community, but it still shows it. And I'm sure it's turned on somebody, you know, to start costuming out there. And, you know, the more the merrier, in my opinion.
And they're not beating the shit out of anybody, really.
Yeah,
like, they're not making fun of people. Like, it could have been a really under the microscope make fun fest for, you know what I mean? It could have been the opposite of, let's have some creative drama in this, or we could make fun of people and get fans that way.
Yeah.
So it could have been a lot worse than what it ended up being.
Definitely. And the only one I think they really do that to is Victoria.
Yes.
With her boyfriend. But
well, I think they're starting, as of last week, they started in on Monica with that I don't want to pair with you, Becky, comment. But
yeah,
we'll see how that pans out after tonight's show. Do you guys have any favorites or
like people we relate to?
Yeah, like that are as cast members on the shows, or anybody that have kind of liked before the show and happy to see them on it now, or just, you know, kind of like seeing them, maybe you're a little bit more inspired or anything
who
like
do you
that.
Hope wins?
Is there a contest?
No.
I'm kind of a little upset there's not, you know, more men on the show. I wanted more men cosplayers. So, but, I mean, that's really one of my big qualms about it. But I think who I really relate to, just because my dynamic with Andrea, is I relate to Jessica and Holly the most.
I love them.
Yeah, they seem really down to earth. And I think they edit them to be a little crazy. But, you know, who isn't in this
right.
community?
It does seem like it's edited to play upon their friendship and maybe the limits of their friendship, so to speak. But did you guys see the movie that they were in? It was something like the trip to Comic-Con or something like that, where they were doing their Mass Effect costumes for that.
I did see that.
Yeah, that was where I first came across them. And actually, when I saw that they were going to be on this show, too, that was really probably the, okay, I'm definitely not going to miss this. Even if I don't like the first episode, I'm going to DVR all of them. Mm-hmm. Just because I liked them so much in that other movie that I wanted to see what they brought to the table in this.
Yeah.
And I really like them. I like their friendship. I like how they are together, solo. I like what they do. I like how they do it. So yeah. They get the two Rick thumbs up.
I do enjoy what they do, and I like their YouTube channel. I think it's called How Do You Make This?
Mm-hmm.
They really do a great job of filming and explaining stuff. And they already have working jobs. You know, they worked with a whole bunch of famous people already, and yeah, I think...
I thought that was a little... Yeah, no, I thought it was a little weird that they were on the show because they are pretty much already professional cosplayers. Maybe not in the cosplayer ring, but where was it that I read Holly has, like, an Emmy Award for... Mm-hmm. I might have read that on the sci-fi thing, but she has an Emmy Award for costuming and stuff like that. I mean, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's also good to see that they're not just strolling up and winning everything either. So it does kind of... I do like on the show that they had people that weren't on the show winning on those episodes. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be.
Because it's realistic.
Just because you're in a TV show doesn't mean, you know, you should win all the awards.
That was Toddlers and Tiaras.
Yeah. So.
Not that I watched that show ever.
You've mentioned it. You've mentioned Toddlers and Tiaras far too many times for us to believe you're anything but a fan.
I'm planning on doing a Toddlers and Tiaras costume next Dragon Con, so I want to make a big cupcake dress and be obnoxious.
It's research.
Yeah, it's all academic.
I was about to call you a monster until I realized you weren't going to actually subject a child to that, so now it's cool. Okay.
What about you, Andrea? Is there anybody on the show that stands out to you?
The only person that I was familiar with before the show came out was Yaya, so I didn't have any of that anticipation looking forward to certain people on the show, but I do like those two friends that I can't remember their names that we were just talking about.
Holly and Jessica.
Yeah, those two, they're amusing, and I think that their interactions together, I enjoy that, and they seem pretty realistic for, you know, silly cosplay pals. I like that.
Every time I watch the show from now on, when I'm watching them, I'm going to think about you and Kayla.
Kayla's don't pee in jars, though.
Not me.
No. See how I immediately denied that before she was able to say something?
That's full-blown guilt right there.
I maybe will cry in jars, but not pee.
Pee, tears, and creeper breathing. No. You heard it here live.
No.
You are just completely assaulting that microphone with your breath.
Sorry.
You're not. We're just kidding.
Oh. Assholes.
Whatever.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to. There was one person besides the two friends that you guys are talking about who I agree are kind of the most, probably the coolest people on the show. There's one other woman who's on it, and I've got the cast completely jumbled in my mind, but she kind of gives a kind of pseudo outsider's perspective because she herself has a successful program about cosplay, but then
Chloe?
Yeah, she seems kind of cool. No?
Yeah, she's at first I didn't really like her, you know, first impressions, but then I was like, oh, okay. For some reason I didn't like her. Maybe it was just the way she was saying stuff.
Is she the one who did Lydia?
Yeah.
Yes.
I liked her.
She's refreshed, you know, she's brand new into the community, and, you know, she had only taken cosplay photos. Somebody came in and dressed her up in their costume and put makeup on her. She took some photos, but now she's starting to do it. You know, it's really a refreshing side of things for the show to get somebody who's brand new into it and to spark conversations like in that bar about 300
yes.
pound people.
She was the one that was mortified when the people were basically writing off 3/4 of the human race as like retrograde trash. So
yeah, and there are these unspoken rules in cosplay. Like, nobody will deny it. You can't compete multiple times in a best in show costume. You know, that's just a big no-no that you don't do, you know, but people still do it, and it's so taboo, and you'll get backlash from it. So it's there's certain things in the community that people will look down upon.
Can't compete with the same. So if I had like a horse that won a race and I was following the rules of cosplay, I'd have to shoot it on the race.
Pretty like, much.
What if you have a really limited interest and it's like, I really only want to cosplay as this?
You can cosplay it all you want. Yeah. You just can't
compete. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, let's say, you know, Andrea goes to Dragon Con and wins Best in Show in her Platts the Barbarian costume. Yeah.
Yes.
And she goes to MegaCon and wins another $1,000 at Best in Show. And then she goes to another con and same costume and wins Best in Show there. It's kind of, it's unfair.
It's a dick move is basically what it comes down to.
I disagree. I think that we would like to see Platts the, well, actually your new title will be Platts the Prize Taker and you'll show up at every convention.
You see, but if you compete in a contest and win nothing, then you're good to compete in a different contest. Like, that's the best part. So,
okay, that was my next question. Are you guys cool with that? Like, maybe the same costume over and over?
As long as you haven't won a major award in the costume. In the show that I'm in right now, being the cosplay coordinator, that's one of our rules. If you've won a major award, you cannot compete in the costume. You can, but you won't get anything. You know, you'll get a judge's award at most. It's fair to everybody else, you know, because it's such a small con.
Right.
You don't want somebody coming in from Dragon Con, like Platts the Barbarian, who was on CNN, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of a conquering barbarian, but go on.
But yeah, I mean, you just, you know, to make even out the playing field for, you know, somebody who's 14, who just started making costumes and, you know, she's asking her grandma to help, but she's not letting her grandma make anything, so.
Which is why her costume sucks and she needs to learn. She needs to learn to use the resources at hand and she needs to get her little heart broken. This is tough love. That's what Platt's all about, teaching you how tough life is from the get-go. There's no joking around. This is real. This is cosplay.
But, I mean, half the fun is making the new costume and getting the new oohs and ahs anyway, so.
Exactly. And you have to keep making costumes. You know, you'll have one awesome costume, and, yeah, you'll get internet famous for it, but if you don't keep up with that, people are going to rip you, you know. You have to keep up the level that you've already made for yourself. And I think Yaya said that in the show. You know, she's held to a higher standard than everybody else because of her, you know, past repertoire. So.
Right. And she always has to prove why she's at that judging table.
Exactly.
So even though she's not being judged, she still has to have a costume that's up there, if not better than what's being shown for that day. So tons of pressure on her. That must suck.
Yeah, it does.
You still get the people in the contest are like, who is she to judge me, you know? And there's nothing you can do about that. Like, I'm sure people think that don't like Yaya's work, you know, and think that they're better than her. And that's just something that I'm sure she deals with that must suck. I don't know.
What were we talking about again?
I don't know. I just totally derailed that.
No, you didn't. That was perfect.
Yeah, I don't even remember what you were talking about, but that turned out better.
I think it was something about cats.
No, we were talking about recompeting with the same costume if you've already won.
And I think the other thing about recompeting costumes is if you've competed the same costume 15 times and never won anything with it, maybe you should upgrade it, add to it, do something, you know? Like, there's no rule against it, but if you are competing, it's probably because you want to win something. I mean, I don't know who competes to not win, but
the guy, the one guy on the show is who competes to not win, to answer your question. That's what he's there for, to not win.
He's just there to have fun.
I think Brian called it. He's going to be the guy who wins it all at the end. Because there is a contest at the end, probably, maybe not, but whatever.
There should be. That'd be way more interesting than just watching them rehash old costumes every week.
He's gonna break out his costume from Fallout and win with the exact same costume just to show how subjective it is.
No, he'll wear the bottom half of the Fallout costume, but the helmet of the steampunk stormtrooper.
If you put some rhinestones on it and it, you know, a little glitter, that might help just to attract the girl judges that like that kind of frilly stuff.
Did you really say girl judges like shiny things?
Some of them. If it's not shiny, you get technical awards.
How much did that guy's heart sink when the one lady that was the judge, I think she was a famous author or something, was like, why do you have goggles on the helmet? I don't get that. What's with the goggles? He's like, oh, God.
He had a really good response, though. Didn't he say because they're badass or because they look badass or something?
Yeah, yeah. He just played it off, but I mean, yeah.
It's steampunk. Kinda... You have to have goggles.
Because what I don't if get it? Why are you... It's steam everywhere. You don't want steam in your eyes, do you? I sure wouldn't.
Even though you're already wearing a helmet.
That was like a step removed from walking up and like the judge is like an older person or something who's not really into the scene and they're like, why are you wearing a Halloween costume? It's June. Like, you
know, oh man. Celebrity judges.
Yeah.
So aside from just showing up naked, what pointers can you give to the initiate level costumer?
Really, for newcomers, my biggest tip for them is to get into the community. You know, start your research, Google everything, watch hours and hours of YouTube tutorials, you know, go on Pinterest, pin everything, you know, and just start learning as much as you can about everything there is to, you know, do about costumes. And start learning your strengths. What if you're a better sewer, if you're better at prop construction, start knowing yourself, and that's how you'll become a great cosplayer.
Also, I would say don't try to make your first costume your dream costume. That's way too hard to start. You know, start with something reasonable that you can accomplish. Don't set unrealistic goals, I guess, would be how to sum that up.
Well, there you go. Sound advice from a judge and South Florida's foremost technical award-winning cosplayer.
Absolutely, yes.
Watch the Barbarian.
Hate you all.
I love you too, Andrea. Uh-huh. Let's make beautiful costumes together.
I love you guys.
Sorry.
And on that slobbery, lovey-dovey note... I think we will, unless you guys have any final plugs and or shout outs you want to make, we will let you fly. And thank you for being on our show.
Where can your fans see you?
Yes.
Besides PalmCon.
On Facebook, I'm I guess it's Technically Toki, facebook.com/technicallytoki. That's where my stuff goes.
You even, I mean, you're begging for the technical.
Yeah, it's a running joke at this point, so it's all good. I enjoy it.
She's embraced it.
Yeah. So.
And for me, you can, my name is Blue Eyes Dante, all one word. And on Facebook, DeviantArt, Pinterest, and Instagram, I'm all that. So
you could just. Connected.
Yeah.
All up in the internet. Nice.
All up in that internet.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put all that in the show notes, so if you guys didn't catch it then, you can catch it on the website.
Sweet. Give us a like. Yeah.
I'll give you a like just because you say costume instead of costume.
Wait, who says costume?
I don't know, but a lot of people say it, and I'm not a fan.
Well, we'll talk about it over the weekend, Rick. Cool, guys. Well, thanks for being on. We hope maybe to have you on again sometime when there's another controversial, hard-hitting cosplay show, or when we just want tips on our upcoming costumes. I'm doing a Bill Cosby for PalmCon, so get your opinions on that.
I'm going to be going as Claire Huxtable.
I'm not going to fit in at all. I was going to do a cop from Fifth Element.
We'll work it in. We'll work it in.
Work it out.
Work it out. All right, guys, thanks for being on. And
Well, thank you for having us on, and I really appreciate it, and I'd love to come back on.
Ditto.
Technically, that's this true. Has been a stellar interview, so we shall have you back.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of our most technically outstanding interviews ever, so... And technically, it's at an end, so on that technical note, Rick, bring a technical end to this by finalizing the recording, sir. Okay, guys, so some interesting insights from tonight's cosplay guests, Andrea and Kayla. What did you guys think about their opinions? Did it change your views on Heroes of Cosplay at all?
Brian?
Yeah, it kind of did. I guess I believed the reality of it, and I wasn't really liking the show because they're so mean-spirited, and I just hated seeing that because I have this wide-eyed view of, like, people cosplay because it's fun. And I also have that weird view that, like, the most I can ever win is $1,000. So, I mean, like, really? Do you care that much about that little money to like, be cutthroat?
Yeah, I actually wanted to bring that up, and there just wasn't a good place to bring it up where it would make sense without having to explain that point. That I remember reading when the show first started how a lot of other people were feeling like you are, like you just described, that they were kind of like, I don't understand why they got to make it like seem like it's all about the money. It's not about the money. How could it be about the money? I mean, I watched somebody walk in and buy $326 worth of foam. They placed and won like $300. So, and that was only one piece of their costume. So these people obviously are not doing it for the money. And it did seem like that they were editing it up to be that way at first. But I think as the show's gone on, it doesn't seem so much that way.
That first episode cracked me up when they were like, now onto the big money prizes. Yes. And they walked away with it, like one of those checks for $1,000.
Not $300, $400, or $500, but 1,000 American cash dollars.
I mean, by no means is $1,000 something to scoff at, but Jesus Christ, these people are not making a living out of doing this. So,
right,
paying for materials, pretty much.
You're better off spilling hot coffee on yourself and cosplaying if you're trying to make a buck. That's all I'm gonna say.
Heck yeah. I liked I liked what these guys brought to the show. You know, they spoke their mind, had no issues with talking about what needed to be talked about, and it was cool to get like an insider's perspective. Both the fact that, you know, they've been judges, they currently compete, stuff like that. I walk away with a little deeper love and respect, I think.
Yeah, for someone like me who I attend cons and I see cosplay from an outsider's perspective, you know, and it was nice to have a more, and this is half joke, half serious, technical
yeah.
look into things. I've talked to a lot of mostly females, but a few guys too that are in the cosplay scene, and it's been made out to be a very catty and very hyper-competitive sort of space, and I thought the show was accurately reflecting that, but now that I get an insider's perspective from these two, I feel, now that I've gotten that, I feel a little bit better about cosplay, and yeah, it sort of changed my perspective on both the show and the, I guess, hobby/art that is cosplay.
Agreed.
It ruined my image of reality television, though. I mean, I really thought that was just what happened all the time.
Shut up.
No, me too, man. Because, like, you know, I mean, like, when I watched King of the Nerds, like, they brought all these really genius people on and had them just use their minds to win contests and, you know, make use of all those cool, like, soldering guns and Arduino boards. And I can't. King of the Nerds was so horrible compared to this show, so.
I have a personal beef with reality television show that not many people care to know or do know. Yeah, for the most part, writers just fucking despise something that excludes writers from the process.
Well, something that excludes real writers from the process and then purports not to be in any way scripted, but then you know that some hack behind the scenes who's not a qualified writer is actually pulling the strings, right?
Right. Somebody's executive producer's cousin or something.
Right. I've hated reality programming since The Real World, so it's rare that I find a show like this that I can. This and Face Off, by the way, which I actually like. Well, I guess that sums up our thoughts on tonight's episode and Heroes of Cosplay. And again, special thanks to Andrea and Kayla for being on our show. Was it Platt or Platts the Barbarian, her alter ego? Or she the alter ego?
Platts.
Two barbarians. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that single costume take prize after prize, so that a treasure chest of up to $5,000 has been accumulated over the course of 3 years.
Unfair! Unfair!
Exactly. We're gonna send her out to wreak havoc in the cosplay world, as a barbarian should. Speaking of wreaking havoc, though, you want to tear up your ears with some quality entertainment on a weekly basis, I highly recommend that you put on your loincloth, don your... Oh, wait. I guess you donned your long loincloth. Whatever. Carry your best battle axe or two-handed sword with you, and wade into the world of podcasting by subscribing to the Nerdtrabaganza podcast on iTunes. And while you're there, you can write us a review and give us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate it. Please be a less harsh judge than we imagine cosplay judges are.
And if you find yourself stuck in a situation where you have to listen to our podcast on the website and have absolutely no idea how to do it, so you can just get your significant other to do it, tell them that they need to go to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where they can download the show, rate the show, stream the show, all kinds of cool stuff.
Why isn't it working?
I don't know, Brian. Maybe you should just forget the website and check it out on Facebook.
Okay, really smart. We're out of time. We don't have time for Facebook. What about Twitter? Can't they check us out on Twitter, like at Nerdstravaganza?
At Nerdstravaganza would work, Tom, but they could also check it out on the Stitcher.
Oh, so you mean they've got time to stream our show on Stitcher?
I guess. I don't even know why I put up with you two.
Listen, you're not at our level, and it's time for us to end this episode.
Fine, I didn't want to pair up with you anyway. Come on, Brian.
Let's leave. I'm done.
You don't have the body type to play, Brian.